Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. What a 30 minutes we have for you. Why? Because this is the Villa Fan Show, the Villa Takeover, where you get to have your say, your team, your voice. A show dedicated to all you Villa fans. 30 minutes where we're going to be talking about your club and who to do it better with than Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. He is the tradition on this show. Ryan, always great to have you back on and to chat with you for the next 30 minutes talking about Villa. So much has gone on. The 2-2 with Man United, the FA Cup draw earlier, Dean Smith signing a new deal, but we have to start at the very top. 2-2 with Man United. It could have been so different. What did you make of this one, Ryan?
Yeah, it was an enjoyable game of football, a really open game of football, and I'm obviously happy with the way that Dino set up, and it's pretty much what we've done against a lot of the big sides. You know, for a few spells of the game, we got our foot on the ball and really took the game to them. And it's this way of playing is quite a refreshing change from how, you know, we previously set up last time we were in the Premier League. You know, after the Martin O'Neill days, it was, you know, we were pretty much exclusive to counter-attacking football, where we'd have like 20 to 25% possession. And you know, whilst we did pull off a few surprises, statistically speaking, without the football, obviously you're less likely to win a game of football. And there were periods of the game, you know, where we obviously did have to revert to shape, hold our own and stand our ground, and we did that. So hats off to the lads and the coaching team, and hopefully we see more of that maybe on Wednesday evening away at Chelsea.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to get into the future games that Villa have coming up. But look, we know that United is struggling at the minute, and everyone wants to make a big deal about it, you know, how they're playing or they're underperforming, the job Solskjaer is doing, and teams have picked up points against them, got results against them. Not many, though, have come at Old Trafford. It's normally when United have gone away, and regardless if a team is playing poorly, Ryan, you still have to turn up, you still have to earn it. And Villa, this is exactly what we wanted to see. Nearly got the 3 points, and it could have been so different. Villa could have gone 2-0 up in that game, couldn't they? Obviously, VAR once again playing a big part in a Villa game, Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, I said before the game, listen, you know, to go to Old Trafford, I know it's not quite the same as old, but, you know, given our record there, I'd happily have taken a point, before the game. But yeah, no, you're right. Obviously, VAR played a part. We could have been 2-0 up. And I think, you know, the big moment was when we were at 1-1, and obviously, Grealish at one end misses a chance to put us 2-1 up. They go up the other end, and I thought, oh, here we go. It's going to be the same old story here. You know, we're going to get plaudits for the way that we played, but we're not going to end up with anything at the end of the day. And to get that equaliser straight away, pretty much, you know, that was really, really important. I felt that, you know, had United got the foot on the ball and just, you know, slowed it down a little bit, I thought that could have been game over for us. So yeah, no, delighted with the point, and it was great to see, and obviously just a great game of football.
Yeah, absolutely delighted with a point. We have to talk about the man of the moment, the man of the match, Jack Grealish. Ryan, what's an absolute worldie, a peach of a goal. You know, no one really expected him to shoot. It was just delicious, weren't it?
Oh, I mean, just watching De Gea, just like watching
clueless.
It and just almost admiring it. You know, it was absolutely brilliant. For me, obviously, I think Grealish was the best player on the pitch, and I certainly think he was the most, he was the most technically gifted by a long chalk, you know, and it was just an absolute thing of beauty. And, you know, how many times, I've said it so many times, but, you know, opposition fans, they talk about, you know, how many times he hits the floor, but the facts are that they are fouls. To me, he's one of the best players in terms of body shape. You know, no, it's almost like you can't teach that in a footballer, the way that he protects the ball and gets his body in the way of the opposing man and the ball. You cannot teach that, and it's a real quality to have. You know, winning that many set pieces. It's a shame, obviously, our set pieces weren't all that great yesterday. But you know, it's such a huge asset to have, and you know, he's just got so much in his locker, and we saw that yesterday.
Yeah, I know you're saying Villa weren't great at set pieces. They're certainly not great at defending them, because this is where they seem to concede all of their goals, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, to be honest, the first one, I think that more stemmed from, of course, you know, the set piece aside, where the balls come out. Prior to that, obviously, the Tyrone Mings, I feel that there's... Don't get me wrong, Tyrone Mings is really good from playing out the back, and generally speaking, he's fantastic on the ball. But there are times where you think, just clear your lines here, just clear your lines here. And obviously, we can always say it in hindsight, and obviously that led to the corner, which then led to the goal, obviously the ball coming out. I mean, it was a peach of a delivery, and obviously Rashford couldn't miss from there. But yeah, set pieces, you know, it should be an area that we're particularly strong at, given, you know, we are a pretty heighty team. You know, we've got a few tall lads in there. And it should be something that we are good at. And I think the second one off Wesley is just a little bit unlucky there. I see what he's trying to do. The problem being is with Wesley in that position, he wasn't actually doing anything. You know, there's no men around him or anything. And once you get that flick on and... can go anywhere, and it was a great header from Lindelof, to be fair.
I absolutely love that, Ray. You always come up with a peach in a show. You just went, we're quite a high-tea team. I've never heard that before. We're not a tall team, we're not a long team, we're quite a high-tea team. Absolutely brilliant. Didn't mention the word size, you know, we've got a big size, but if we're a high-tea team. Let's talk about Mings, though, because obviously VAR playing this part, and me and you have covered VAR, you know, for good, for worse, for bad. Once again, though, it played its part. Mings' goal was given, rightly so, he was onside. But we've got to a point now in the game, Mings didn't even celebrate, and you know, I just felt like the euphoria was taken away from the Villa fans, because it was like, well, we know this is going to VAR, let's just wait and see.
Yeah, I even before that, obviously, we mentioned about the Grealish one, and in when I'm watching the game in real time, you're thinking, oh, that's a tight call to be making. You know, if you can let it go, then let it go. But yeah, obviously, the Mings one's a totally different thing, because obviously he's kept his flag down, and he was well onside, as you say. But yeah, I don't know, I'm not a fan of it, but ultimately, you know, for the large part, and I think we've seen over recent weeks, it is making the right calls, and that's what we want to see. I mean, imagine if that goal had been given offside, you know, purely based on, as a lot of the media and the pundits have said, you know, if you were to watch that, you'd be thinking, guy, it looks well off there. Do you know what I mean? So it's one of those things, and, you know, it's only last year where it's clearly, you know, 3 yards on, 2-3 yards on, that could have been given, that goal might not have been given if the linesman's got his flag up, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously it was 2-2. And one of the important things, right, obviously, you know, we get to watch the games, read up about them after. It was important that Villa named an unchanged starting 11 for the fourth time in the Premier League this season. That is as many times as they did in their 49 games in the Championship last year, obviously including the playoffs. They've already matched that in December in the Premier League. And when we're talking about this good run of results, and that is the foundation right there, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think it particularly helps that, you know, we don't have the largest of squads. And I think, you know, when we're talking about players cementing places, I think for the large part, most of the starting 11 is cemented. I'd say that the only real alternatives are what might change in the middle of the park, you know, away from obviously Grealish and more so playing on the left side, but more so lesser maybe John McGinn. I don't think there's too many. I think, you know, the right back, the left back, the full back areas, they pick themselves, the goalkeeper picks themselves, the centre halves to a degree picks themselves, but obviously Conser's now making maybe the man to play alongside Mings long term. So yeah, for the large part, I think the squad picks itself, and needless to say is up top. We've only got really Wesley, we'll see come January whether that's still the case. But it's important to have that, you know, to have that bedrock and go-to starting 11, so to speak.
Yeah, bedrock of that starting 11, the defensive foundation, important bedrock to keep the key staff and players in place. One of them, Dean Smith, signing a new deal this week. In a week of managerial merry-go-rounds, Arsenal sacking their manager Spurs 2 weeks ago, Marco Silva on the hot seat, a few more managers, maybe Pellegrini, although he may have saved his job beating Chelsea. Dean Smith signs a new deal. How pleased and how pleased were the Villa fans overall?
Delighted. Obviously, it means it's a massive thing in terms of, imagine managing the football club that you support. I mean, there can be no greater thing, really. You know, I mean, I play Football Manager and Villa all the time. You know, I mean, I can only but dream. But that's just incredible. I mean, the project that we've got here is really, really special. And you know, Dean Smith, you know, plays really good football. You can actually see things. You can see what what they've been working on and such. And it makes a massive difference. It's just a breath of fresh air. And you know, Dino breathes Aston Villa. He loves the club, you know, and it shows. And in his post-match comments, and you know, his love and adoration of the football club just matches ours. To have that, and also, it's not just about that, but having a forward-thinking, progressive manager who's prepared to, you know, try things out and be daring. That's really important. And hopefully, you know, we stay up this season, and obviously we look to build and go on a journey together.
Yeah, well, he's tied, Dan. You know, you talk about the project, the long-term vision. Obviously, Grealish, man in a match. I want to mention, maybe it's got to be England squad, right, sooner rather than later. But the United fans cheekily singing a few songs, they were looking forward to buying Jack Grealish.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's nothing that I've not said before. It's a joke that he hasn't at least had a call-up. So at least they can take a proper look at him. You know, on the international things, you know, I hate to say it, but I'm still not sure how it'd fit in with England. He deserves to get the call-up, but I'm just not sure how he'll fit in, you know. At Villa, he's sort of like the cock of the walk, and he can almost do as he pleases to a certain degree. He has a licence to roam, but international football is always, I think, regardless of nation, it just seems a little bit more rigid, so to speak, and that probably doesn't really suit Jack. It's almost as if he's best just to be left on his own devices, in a way. And England have so many of those players that can play in behind Kane in that 4-2-3-1, which I think Southgate likes to go to. It's just mad, really. But I do think Grealish has certainly more than thrown his name into the hat after yesterday and his form this season. But yeah, he's obviously going to get linked as well to other clubs. But I genuinely believe that Grealish believes in the project that we've got here. And, you know, the grass isn't always greener, you know. He knows he's going to get good money if he stays at the club. He can be the highest paid player. And he can be... He's a Villa boy, and he can be something special at Aston Villa. And I think, you know, I think he will stick around.
Yeah, and I know you wanted to talk about another very special performance alongside Mings, because everyone talks about Mings, but you wanted to talk about someone who was doing just as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I think Ezri Konsa has done really well since he's come in. I think, you know, that was that two league games, and he's played the Carabao Cup games. You know, and funnily enough, he's actually unbeaten in all of his games. So, but yeah, I'd say he's probably a little bit more comfortable on the ball than Engels. I would say probably Engels is a little bit better.
Is he going to get back into the team though?
I can't see it straight away. You can't change a team that's unbeaten, I don't think. And, you know, I think Ponce has done enough to keep his slot there. And, you know, I just think it's great, you know, to see him getting some game time. And I think we're starting to show the depth that we have in those sorts of areas centrally. You know, I think we just need to add more of that to other key positions right now. But I think Engels will struggle to get back in at least straight away.
Yeah, I agree. It's going to be an interesting one. You always want competitions for places, right? And right, it was the FA Cup draw earlier. They got Fulham. That is away. We're going to be talking all about that and looking towards those next two games, Chelsea and Leicester. It doesn't get much tougher. Love Sport. You are listening to the Aston Villa Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Delighted to say I'm still joined by Ryan Pitcher from Under a Gaslit Lamp. We were just talking about Dean Smith's new deal, the 2-2 with Manchester United on the weekend. Now, though, we look towards the games that are coming up. First, though, there was the FA Cup third round draw earlier this evening. Aston Villa got drawn against Championship side Fulham at Fulham. Ryan, what did you make of this draw?
Yeah, I mean, I'm intrigued to see how seriously both teams will take this competition. I think, you know, for starters, we could possibly be in a Carabao Cup semi-final, you know, should we beat Liverpool. And I think if we got to that stage of that particular competition, then we might be inclined to take that competition somewhat seriously. I think for both teams, the FA Cup is a little bit of a distraction to what's going on in the respective leagues. You know, our core aim is obviously to stay up and set a mark in the Premier League and then build on that. And then Fulham, you know, I think what they sit third, is it, in the Championship?
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll have more than one eye on promotion back to the top flight at the first time of asking. So in terms of the draw, not ideal. I prefer to have a home tie against the lower league side, but you know, I see us resting players for that anyway. I see it more of a Carabao Cup sort of side. So yeah, we'll see. I'm not opposed to having a good cup run, but it's not the bread and butter, is it? So
you mentioned though a similar side to the Carabao Cup side. This is a Carabao Cup side that have done well so far in that competition. Now you've got another cup competition. It's not one that's played in midweek, so you might play a stronger side. But it is interesting. It's two teams that will be distracted elsewhere. Fulham trying to desperately get back to the Premier League. Aston Villa trying to stay there. But it is a difficult one. When that is only the core aim, there is one priority for Villa this season. Maybe it will be a distraction, but good things can come from a cup run. When you need that little bit of confidence, maybe something to spark the side, galvanise the side, it can be that. And no disrespect to Fulham, every cup competition is tough. We know what cup football brings. But this is a good chance to maybe go a little deeper into the competition.
Yeah, absolutely, and I don't like talking about cup competitions with so. It sounds like I'm being disrespectful at the end of the day, and you know, it's been just turned 32 the other day now. So, and it's been, well, I was nine years old, I think, when Villa last won a cup in 1996, the Coca-Cola Cup final. So you know, that's an awful long time, and realistically, is for clubs like ourselves, is, you know, we're not gonna, it's not like we're gonna win the Premier League certainly within the next few years. So I would love to see us lift a trophy, a major silverware, you know, and certainly that would help us obviously see us in Europe as well. But I just think obviously the finances of football nowadays, it just takes over, doesn't it? You know, it really does. It just takes it away from the cup competitions. But no, I would hopefully like to see us go on a good cup run. You're right, it can obviously rejuvenate us a little bit. And it's good to use the squad somewhat. You know, there's going to be some players in there that are going to use it to obviously show what they're still about and what they can do. And I'm sure come January as well, when the FA Cup third round, you know, when it comes in for us, is that's going to be times where we'll be looking to bring in players that we might be able to, you know, maybe bedrock, use it as a bedrock to bed them into the team, so to speak. So, you know, maybe in the fourth and latter rounds. And yeah, we'll see. But obviously, it won't be a priority for us.
Yeah, it's a long old season and the games come thick and fast. It's a great chance to rotate possibly for Dean Smith. But you mentioned, you know, the run of fixtures that Villa have and, you know, the core aim is to stay up. But just with that good bit of form, beating Newcastle, drawing with United at Old Trafford, 3 points above that relegation place now. Just a little bit of breathing space, right?
Yeah, I've still not taken too much note of the league table because it's just so clustered, isn't it? Between, you know, sixth place right down to the bottom. So, you know, I think it'll start taking a bit more shape come the new year. I've constantly said it on the show, and it's almost like I say it every week, but I think it is just about getting to January as high up as we can, and hopefully outside of those relegation places and strengthen. That's all we can do. you know, but I think it's going to be a tight league this year. I think there's so many sides that, you know, that will find themselves, you know, just scrapping around for points, and yeah, we'll be one of those sides, undoubtedly so. But I think there's certainly, you know, three, four, possibly five, you know, worse teams than us. So I think we will be safe.
Yeah, I think so. I think Dean Smith and Villa side will be safe, but it's going to be, you know, a battle for the points. We're going to have runs of form where you draw with United, beat Newcastle, then that mini slump you had. It is that roller coaster way. It's going to be that's the way it sort of will go this season. The next two games, though, absolutely huge. Chelsea away in London Wednesday night, then Leicester on the weekend. Two games before we next get to speak, right? But Chelsea away, what do you make of this one?
Yeah, I think it's probably the most dangerous time to be playing Chelsea on the back of their defeat at home to West Ham on the weekend. They'll be hurting and obviously desperate to get things back on track. Hopefully, Tammy won't be back in time, as we know about the damage that he can cause. I'd rather be up against a Giroud or possibly, I think there was talk about Pulisic playing in a false nine, you know, as opposed to someone like Tammy, who's been in fine form both this season for Chelsea and obviously ourselves last term. I think that this is a game that's going to be won and lost in the midfield. I do believe that. Chelsea, you know, they've got so many creative players that can hurt teams in there, similar to the way that England play with the three behind the one, you know, so many players, Pedro, Mount, Pulisic, Willian, Hudson-Odoi, and so forth. But I still think they aren't great when it comes to protecting their back line. You know, I'm not a big fan of Jorginho, and Kovacevic is a natural holding player. And I think that it's an area that we could possibly exploit ourselves. And likewise, I think that they're attacking players that I've just mentioned a moment ago. I think possibly those sorts of players finding space in behind the lines. And I think this, for that reason, I think it could be a high-scoring game of football, if truth be told. I know you're going to ask me for the prediction, you see, so now I've said it's going to be high-scoring. I've got to give you a high-scoring one, haven't I? So.
Well, yeah, right, if you say it's going to be high-scoring, you can't come on and go, I think it's going to be a 0-0. It's not really how it works.
Exactly, yeah.
Chelsea have conceded goals, though. You know, Frank Lampard keen to, you know, he's addressed those. Well, they're not keeping clean sheets at the minute. They did lose on the weekend to West Ham. I know you said, oh, they're going to be looking to a bounce back, but maybe West Ham showed a blueprint to beat Chelsea. And, you know, how much confidence can Villa take beating Newcastle and getting a point against Man United? Now they go to another big side away.
Mm-hmm. Well, I said before, the Newcastle game, you know, when we're talking about the slump, that obviously, you know, the Newcastle and indeed Manchester United, you know, these are confidence building games, and I think that's really important in football. Had we not got those results, and I would be dreading going into this week, to be totally honest. But yeah, I think excuse me, we can take heart from what West Ham did. It's not like, you know, Chelsea, they're building something as well. It's a totally different ball game to what it was a few years ago when you went to the Bridge, similar as it was to what we did at Old Trafford yesterday. I think there's a game of football there that's to be won. And, you know, it's only rolling back 3, 4, 5 years ago. There's no way that you would really be saying this on radio at all. You know, that you feel that you've got a chance going to these sorts of places. But genuinely speaking, I think that we do have a chance there, and hopefully it plays out that way.
Right, high scoring, right. I'll give you a minute. What's your score prediction?
I'm going with a 2-2. Similar to yesterday.
Do you know what? I was just thinking about that a minute ago when you said it. I think Villa have got a good chance to get a point now. I really believe they will get a point at Stamford Bridge on Wednesday night. Then it is Leicester. That's a Sunday game. Villa at home, though. We know the damage Leicester are doing at the minute. 6 consecutive wins on the bounce. Can't go on forever. What are your thoughts on that one?
Yes, it's another tough one, isn't it? It'll probably be billed as the Jack Grealish versus James Maddison's, you know, two young, classy English number 10s. No, on a serious note, I really like what Brendan Rodgers is doing at Leicester. You know, they've got a really good young squad, and you know, similar to how I'd want, you know, how I'd want us to be, really, you know, a squad that are expressive and very easy on the eye. And I think a lot of football clubs lower down the league table, you know, might aspire to try and do something similar to what they are doing. You know, they're competing towards the top without necessarily breaking the bank, and you know, it's going to be a tough one, but we need to try and get maximum points at home. And what with the crowd on the side, you know, I'm confident that we can win that one.
Ooh, he's going for it. He's going to beat Leicester on the weekend. I love it. Come on, Ryan, what's your score prediction?
I'm going to go 2-1 Villa.
Oh, I love it. A point against United away, a point against Chelsea away, then they go and beat Leicester 2-1 on the weekend. What a week. What a 5 points that is. Right, and then we get to chat about it all on a Monday night. Makes the week even better.
Yeah.
Always a pleasure talking with you, Ryan. Makes my Monday. Looking forward to next Monday already. Ryan Pitcher from under a gaslit lamp, talking everything where Villa are concerned. It's what we do right here on Lovesport Radio. It's your team, your voice on the fan shows.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Lovesport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Lovesport Radio on Twitter.